listening to People, Pets, and Vets with Dr. Brad Miller and registered veterinary technician Angel Martin.
Hey.
Each week we bring you current events and news in the veterinary industry and share our thoughts and perspective on how they impact us and our animal hospital. We also try to give you an insight and behind-the-scenes glance at our clinic and the people in it. This episode number 135 is once again being brought to you by Georgia Veterinary Associates, a family of animal hospitals caring for your family pet. So we will go ahead and continue the discussion that we started on episode 134, and we'll just continue that conversation. Here that comes. Okay, so picking up where we last left off.
We were just talking about funny names.
Last week, talking about, funny names and human names, Roger and Earl specifically.
Mm-hmm.
I've always loved human names on pets for the most part, but it has to be a little bit unique.
Yeah, I mean, I guess so. Like, we had a cat in one of the clinics that I first worked at whose name was Clarissa.
Okay, Silence of the Lambs.
Yes.
Related.
Yes, she was a little devilish cat, so exactly that. But I think names like that are funny. Also last week we talked about some people, what's happening in Ukraine and the fact that they are kind of evacuating with their pets. And so we always go, like, whenever there's wildfires and all that, at least my brain, what's happening to the animals in that area? What's happening to the pets in that area? So we talked about that the pets are definitely kind of going with their people when they're, fleeing the country. But I started looking into, like, what types of animals are indigenous to Ukraine, because I have no idea, right?
Well, I don't either.
And so along the lines of that, I found a jerboa. Do you know what a jerboa is?
I saw this somewhere. I don't. When you say it, I'm like, oh, yeah,
okay.
I read that. So I read it
so
somewhere last week.
It is like the little cutest thing I've ever seen in my life. It is basically like a kangaroo rat. It's like a hopping desert rodent.
I don't know what that is. No.
I have a picture. It's adorable. Here, I'm going to show you just so you can see. Look how cute it is. It has these big ears.
Oh, it has like ostrich legs.
Yeah, it's more like kangaroo. It has these big long legs. So it is a two-footed, like it only walks on its 2 feet.
It's like a little T-Rex thing.
Yeah, exactly. So it has four limbs, but it only walks on its two hind limbs. So kind of like a kangaroo, right? But anyways, I thought it was really interesting, so I started looking it up, and this jerboa is a hopping desert rodent.
Okay.
Found throughout the North Africa and Asia. They basically do not drink water because of the desert.
Oh, they probably
there.
Get the water off of leaves, the plants with the...
So they actually get all of their hydration from the insects that they eat.
Yeah.
And plants that they ingest.
Yeah.
Think about that. That's like bizarre.
I think I learned about, like, the desert with the water in the, the cactus or other plants out there when I lived in Arizona. I thought that was pretty amazing.
Mm-hmm.
How many animals can survive on such limited water. I wouldn't have thought, liquid in an insect, but it makes sense. It's the same thing with pet food, right? Dry kibble versus wet food.
Exactly.
So that's cool.
So this kind of got me thinking, again, this is a rodent, so it's not like a wildlife species
anybody,
or whatever.
Nobody keeps them as pets in Ukraine?
So it's actually illegal to keep a jerboa as a pet. And so that then turned me into this whole exotic...
So, jerboa, because the face does look kind of like a gerbil.
Yes.
Which is why they're
its order is a rodentia. Yeah. So, family is...
animal kingdom.
Yep. Animal kingdom, class mammalia. So, it's a mammal. Phylum, chordata.
What's it Spanish? Chordata.
I know. Chordata. Family, I don't even know how to say this, but it's Diplodiidae, and so because it only walks on the 2 feet.
Okay.
So interesting.
Dipo, it's D-I, right? Dipo.
Yeah, dipo.
2 foot, yeah.
Okay. Diidae. So anyways, yes, it is considered a rodent. So again, my heart goes out to everything that's happening, over there and all those other countries that no one's really even talking about, like Bosnia and that kind of stuff as well. But, again, my brain just kind of goes on the animal side of things. And so I started thinking about, exotic animals and, you know, the whole Tiger King thing that kind of really exploded.
Aren't they redoing? So is it like a Netflix movie or something they're making?
I don't know. I think we've given that man way too much credit already.
Yeah, I don't really.
Started looking through this whole, like, animals that it's legal to own in the United States and those that it's not
legal.
Ooh,
are we going to have a quiz?
Yeah, so I want to just say, I want to go, like, state by state real quick.
Okay.
So, Alabama, legal or illegal to own a mongoose as a pet?
Illegal.
Illegal.
Yeah.
Alabama is one of those that basically anything that's indigenous or natively found is legal. Anything that is not is literally on this prohibited list. One thing I find really interesting, an antelope is on their prohibits list. Are antelope even like in the United States? Like,
sure.
That's so weird.
Sure. Where my kinfolks live in Fluvanna, Texas.
Kinfolk?
Yeah. In Fluvanna, Texas, we would see antelope when we would go to see, you know, we would be driving up the mountain to see them. We would see antelope off to the side. So, yeah, 100%.
So,
100%.
Alaska. So, this is going to go, obviously, we're not going to go through all.
Bald eagle.
50-something states. A one-humped camel, legal or illegal?
Legal.
Legal, for sure. Alligators, gerbils, crocodiles. There's really nothing under their prohibited list, but there are things that you do need to have a permit in order to own. So you may own a chimpanzee in Alaska as long as you've had it before 2010. Okay. So,
I know in Georgia, so I used to have a client that had, it wasn't elk, it was just deer that she had, some quote unquote pet deer, and she did have to have a permit for those.
Yes. So, you know, domesticated deer and things like that, domesticated reindeer are legal in Alaska, but I don't think you can just go catch one and put it in your backyard. So,
okay, cool.
Let's talk a little bit about Georgia.
Let's go back to the name thing. So have you
what
had
name?
A pet that had a human name?
No. Well, I guess I have a Zoe.
Maybe. I've had a pet named Christopher, who was a black pug.
Ew.
And then an English Mastiff named Niles, like on the Crane show or whatever it was. Frasier Crane. Niles was his brother. Very English Niles.
We had a Russian blue cat that used to come here. Is that what it is? Russian blue? And his name was Niles. That's the only pet I've ever seen come through the clinic with a name super interesting like that.
Yeah. And then there's Tovin, which we'll never see that name again probably. So
Tovin, and people are like, oh, that's so interesting. It's truly, as we've talked about before, it's Beethoven, because he was a freaking terror in my house.
Yeah.
But we dropped the Bay and he's just Tovin.
Well, that's not true. You never named him Bay Tovin. You named him Tovin from the
there
beginning.
There was never a Bay. Exactly.
So.
Okay. So back to what I find super interesting in the legal and illegal. So permitted pets in Georgia, are all of those weird, I don't know. There are a couple of weird ones on here. An American bison is a legal pet in Georgia.
Okay. Texas as well. You can have bison.
A water buffalo. Mm. Again, just bizarre. However, you cannot have a hedgehog, a kangaroo, a wallaby, an anteater, a pangolin, an armadillo. So good for Georgia for kind of secluding a lot of these things.
I never knew Georgia had that many armadillos until like 5-10 years ago.
Yeah, Georgia is kind of a... I think we're just getting a lot of these things that are just kind of migrating here.
What about Roadrunner? Is that on the list?
I don't see Roadrunner on the list, but again, there's a lot of things that you do have to have permits for. I do think it's interesting. So, like, Georgia says no sugar gliders, but, like, other states like Idaho, sugar gliders and chinchillas are legal.
You have a sugar glider with a permit? Because I know a lot of... I know several people who have and or have had sugar gliders.
In Georgia, you have to have the correct USDA paperwork and documentation in order to have a sugar glider. But, you know, they used to sell them at the flea market nearby, and that's just not okay anymore.
Right.
But I just think it's interesting, some of these pets that or some of these animals that people want to keep as pets, and some of the states that kind of allow it. You know, I thought when I watched Tiger King, I was in awe in the sense that they used to take these cubs to Las Vegas and have parties and stuff with them. But yeah, it's a very real thing. People, I mean, Mike Tyson had a tiger.
At least on
Yeah,
the
it's
show, the movie,
yeah.
yeah.
No, I mean, I think it was really his. People want to own alligators as pets. Like, why?
So I don't
It's
think we've ever talked about
bizarre.
this. Growing up in Ropesville, Texas, on the trek from our homestead home to where we had a farm, which is where Brother Alan lives now, there was a house on the right that was like a, it was a two-story. It was two story, half of it, and then it dropped down to one story, and it was a flat roof on the top. And the guy that lived there owned a lion. And you would drive by and you would see this lion out on the top of the first floor of this house just sitting there sunning.
That's crazy.
Weird. Weird. Super weird out in the middle of nowhere. So, yeah.
So again, just one more thing that I find very interesting. So in a state like Maine, it is illegal to own a dove as a pet.
Huh.
But like in my opinion, I feel like a lot of people have doves,
Dove, yeah.
dove birds. But it's super weird. It's super interesting.
Okay.
I have more to talk about.
Okay.
You want to keep talking?
Yeah.
So we talked about pet names. We talked about weird pets, if you will. Let's play a little game. How many songs can you think of that have an animal name in the title?
I mean, none right now.
What? None? Okay.
Okay, Eye of the Tiger.
I have the tiger.
When Doves Cry.
When Doves Cry, okay. There are so many.
I'm sure there are,
There
but.
are so many big hits. And just thinking about it. So, like, you like Shakira. Shakira.
Yeah.
She sings
I
a
wish she
song
had been
called.
the halftime entertainment at the Super Bowl this year, actually.
Well, she was a couple of years
I
ago,
know.
right?
That's why I wish she would have come back instead of.
She sings a song called She Wolf.
Okay.
And she howls in the song if you've ever listened to it, like a wolf. Let's see. There's an older song that you'll probably know, Cats in the Cradle.
Yeah, Cat Stevens. So,
Let's
artist and
see.
song there.
Dark Horse.
Dark Horse by, what's his name?
No,
Devin.
Katy Perry.
Oh. He actually has this Devin guy has another Dark Horse song. Same song, but he's country.
Is that actually called Dark Horse, though?
Pretty sure.
I don't know.
But while you look it up, let's
I'm not gonna
keep
look it up.
talking.
I'm not gonna look it
I'm gonna
up.
look it up. Devin Dawson's his name, so I'm gonna look it up right now.
There's the Who Let the Dogs Out?
Yep,
Who,
yep.
who, who, who,
There's
who?
Snoop Dogg.
Can you name an Elvis Presley song?
Blue Suede Shoes.
Okay. With animal in the name?
No, I'm looking up Devin Dawson Dark Horse right now.
Hound dog.
You ain't nothing but a
You
hound
ain't
dog.
nothing but a hound dog.
Devin Dawson Dark Horse. Yep.
And then, I don't know, there's all kinds of songs. There's Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Okay.
Let's
What's New
see.
Pussycat? Tom Jones?
Mad as Rabbits. You won't know that one, but
No.
that's Panic at the Disco.
Hmm.
So you said Devin Dawson does have a song called
Yeah,
Dark Horse?
yes, he does. It's 3 minutes and 32 seconds long on the album called Dark Horse.
Okay. So Katy Perry does have a Dark Horse song as well. Eye of the Tiger, as you've already said. There's
But that's a Katy Perry song too, right? I've got the Eye of the Tiger. I was thinking Eye of the Tiger boxing Rocky.
No. Katy Perry is Dark Horse. Eye of the
And Eye of
Tiger.
the Tiger as well is what I'm saying.
Okay, no.
She's got the Eye of the Tiger. Okay, I'll look it up while you keep talking.
What? That's a Katy Perry song?
Keep talking.
She's got the eye of the tiger. If that's the case, I might need to
You might need to do a little more research
do a little
here.
bit more research for sure. All right. Any other top 100 songs that you can think of at the moment?
Who you said who let the dogs out already?
Hey, we're the monkeys. Right?
Okay, so Katy Perry definitely has a song called, oh, I'm sorry, it's called Roar.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right, let's move on, unless you want to keep struggling through this.
I don't think it's a struggle. I think it's funny. Cat Stevens also sang a song called I Love My Dog.
Never heard that.
The Rolling Stones had Wild Horses.
Wild, yep, hear that
Yep.
right now.
When Doves Cry by
Already
Prince.
said that. That was the second one, yeah.
I don't know. I just think it's hysterical. Like I guess I'm just simple. When I really start thinking about
How many
truly,
songs do you think are out there? I mean, there's like bazillions of
I
songs.
know, but like I guess I, again, like I
Why?
said, I think I'm just simple. It's kind of like having a real understanding of like the effect that animals have in our lives, right? It's just like everything we do, everywhere we go, advertisements, billboards, they start using animals because we as human beings, we emotionalize with that, right? Like we have an instant connection. Like if you're a dog person and you see a dog on a TV commercial, you're instantly gonna have a connection with that.
Sure.
If you are, if you take your dog hiking and you're watching a Subaru commercial and you see that the dog jumps into the back seat of the Subaru, like instantly you have a connection. Like I said, I just think it's so simple, but yet so genius
Yeah.
how all of this just kind of ties back and
But some
how
of these animals
truly
are
important.
wild and so are wild, so they're not necessarily pets. So
Sure.
Buffalo Girls, that's an old song. Oh, Buffalo Girls, won't you come out tonight, right?
Is
Super
that,
old.
I thought they
And
were talking about
then
Buffalo the
you've
city.
got Buffalo Soldier by Bob Marley.
Rock
Mustang Sally,
Lobster.
Rock Lobster, Mustang Sally. So anyway, we have figuratively and literally beat the
We're
horse.
killing it now, aren't
So
we?
let's move on to Healthy
Okay.
Pet, Happy Life. And
Healthy pet, happy life, and then
we'll be done with
done.
episode 135.
135.
So we have just finished up what is traditionally known as Pet Dental Month, which is in February.
Yep.
Truth be told, Pet Dental Month was created because February historically was the slowest month in the veterinary industry, and so we as an industry decided to discount dental care in order to drum up
Ramp up
business.
business, of
And
course.
so here at Georgia Veterinary Associates, every month is Dental Month, in that if we are looking at your pet during a wellness exam and or visit, typically an annual visit, and we see that your pet needs a dental cleaning, we make that recommendation. When you book it, we will put in our notes to give you a $50 compliance discount because you're taking our recommendation and booking it at the time of diagnosis.
Which
So,
is essentially what we would discount our
which is what
dentals.
we would discount on February, but we got tired of doing 8 dental procedures a day during February and 0 to 1 during the rest of the
Well,
year.
yes. And so, quite frankly, historically, clients would figure out that they could save a little bit of money. And
By
so,
waiting. Yep.
in August, their pet would have, trench mouth essentially, but they would wait until February to save money. And so.
So it's a very weird phenomenon. I've never heard of Dental Month in the human healthcare field, right? Dental field. Would you, if you needed a problem fixed in your mouth, would you be like, oh, well, I know it's June. I need this cavity filled, doc, but I'm going to wait until February because I'm going to get that $50 discount.
So you say that because you have dental insurance, but there are plenty of people who don't have dental insurance that literally do not, and they do find the most affordable places or places that are offering dental awareness discounts and that kind of thing.
I guess. I guess maybe I am spoiled to that. But so I guess a couple of points I wanted to make that we just made the one. You know,
Right.
every month is Pet Dental Month, and if your pet has a dental problem or if you just are on the schedule that it's time to go ahead and have that dental complete, it's really technically we say complete oral health evaluation and treatment.
Right.
Right, because we never really know what's going on in a pet's mouth above the gum line or under the gum line until we put them under anesthesia, probe, evaluate, x-ray, really fully evaluate. So
something silly and totally doesn't really matter, but I've seen a lot on social media this like acronym, IYK something. Anyways, it's basically like, if you know, you know.
Okay.
And so they like put all those little acronyms out. And so it's kind of the same thing with dental health. If you know, you know. If you know your pet needs dental care, then you're in the know. But if you've never thought about it, then you don't know. And so
you don't even know what you know. Yeah.
Exactly. And yeah. So it's one of those things that, to your point, like, we make the recommendation. We want you to do the best thing for your pet.
We struggle. We struggle as an industry. We struggle as individual clinics at GVA when to make that strong recommendation, or when to make that recommendation. I said strong. And so it's never, ever, ever wrong to have your pet go through a complete oral health evaluation and treatment procedure, or as we call it in the industry, dental
prophylaxis.
It's never wrong unless your pet has some other severe underlying disease to where the anesthetic risk is going to outweigh the benefit of looking at and or treating what's going on in their mouth. We are very sensitive as to the cost of that dental procedure because it is a big deal. It's a procedure under general anesthesia and it can get a little bit costly. The problem is we don't often make the recommendation early enough or strong enough when there is minor dental disease, and years after that is diagnosed, we come back and say, okay, Ms. Smith, we have got to get Fluffy in. You know, 4 years ago, we diagnosed tartar and gingivitis, and now it's stage 3 dental disease, which we've got heavy tartar, receding gingivitis, periodontitis, probably got some abscess tooth roots. We have got to do this. And so Ms. Smith says, okay, well, let's go ahead and do it. What's the cost going to be? Well, the base cost is going to be, you know, $400 or $500, but we're probably going to have extractions. And so lo and behold, we get Fluffy in, you know, 3 years after the initial recommendation was made. And after we do the evaluation under anesthesia, we get on the phone and we call Ms. Smith and say, Ms. Smith, you know, good thing Fluffy's here because we found 8 teeth that need to be extracted. And Ms. Smith says, oh my God, 8 teeth? Is Fluffy going to be okay if we pull those 8 teeth? Yes, Ms. Smith, Fluffy's going to be better. They're rotten. You know, they're painful. They're this, that, and the other. And so what should have been a 30 to 45 minute prophylactic dental cleaning and evaluation winds up being a 3 or 4 hour procedure, costs thousands of dollars. Fluffy is ultimately better, but that was 3-4 years in the making. I know that was a very long rant.
It was a very long rant.
It's what we see every day.
Of course we do. So we really don't have clients ask us about this, but do you have any insight on why we do not recommend sedation dental procedures versus anesthetic dental procedures?
Well, because you can't do the proper job, right? The pet's kind of in a twilight. We can't probe. We could put a mouth gag in to hold the mouth open so they didn't bite down on our dental sensor when we're taking x-rays, but we can't go in. We can't evaluate them properly. We can't properly clean not only the crown above the gum line, but get down below the gum line and scale. Yeah. And then certainly if there was a problem that we found, an extraction needed to happen, gingival hyperplasia we need to take care of,
right,
oral tumor that we need to take care of, we couldn't do that under that sedation. And so it's a cheaper way to do things, but it's not a better way to do things.
It's not any safer.
Yeah.
And so we talked with our staff. We had a series of meetings over the last two. We had, you know, a Tuesday, Wednesday night meeting, and we talked a little bit about client hesitation and overall people who maybe don't take recommendations when they're made. And so dentistry is no different than that. We talked a lot about anesthetic fear.
Right. What is the number one reason a client will not get a dental evaluation / treatment scheduled at the time of recommendation? And most people think it's due to price, and it's due to fear of anesthesia and death.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah.
Period.
No, absolutely.
So, but we have to explain that we're going to, number one, the benefit outweighs the risk. Number two, we're going to be as safe as we can by doing pre-op lab work, pre-op physical exams. Number three, the safest anesthetic protocol we know of. Number four, the best monitoring systems that we know of and can have. And number five, doctor and technician monitoring all of this and being right there with the patient. I probably missed something, but that's off the top of my head.
No, I mean, I think that's great. I mean, obviously there always is risk associated. And honestly, even with a sedation procedure, there's always some sort of risk. But one of the spiels that I have with our clients here in our practice is that we do everything we can to alleviate those risks.
Right.
And so that is truly why it is not optional to place an IV catheter in your pet when we're putting them under anesthesia. It is not optional on whether or not you opted in for blood work. And so
X-rays, not optional.
Things for sure can become optional in other practices or other locations. And that's where kind of the price situation comes in. But for us, we do not like to, I guess, take those risks without knowing everything we possibly
could
know. Don't
cut corners to reduce cost because it typically increased risk.
Hands down every time, right?
So
it's like patching a tire with a hole in it versus getting it replaced.
Yeah.
It's the exact same thing. So maybe not the exact, but
it's
quite a similar analogy.
Yeah. So, okay. Well, I think that will do it for this episode, unless you have anything else to add.
No, everyone get ready for St. Patrick's Day. That's pretty much it.
Okay.
St. Patrick's Day, spring is coming. Daylight savings time is about to end. I'm so excited about that.
Yeah, I'm excited for spring for sure. So.
I can't wait. You know, Georgia, again, is one of those states that it's like they want to end this daylight savings time thing. And
I don't know how I feel about that. But
I don't know. So, anyway. I would feel great if it wasn't dark at 4:30 some days.
All right. So thanks for listening, everybody. Let Angel sign us out once again, and we will see you on, we won't see you, you will hear us on episode 136.
Check in next week as we discuss more in the news and in our industry. Follow us on Instagram at People, Pets, and Vets. Make sure to hit subscribe wherever you're listening to this podcast. And remember, without people, pets are simply animals.
Bye, guys.